Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. Welcome to Wednesday's episode of the podcast. Thanks ever so much for downloading. It's August the 6th. Coming up, a charity that trains dogs to help children with type 1 diabetes is facing a funding crisis. And there are calls for more women to try a sport that only has one all-female team in Kent. But first, a man who jumped on his ex's car at traffic lights in Dover has avoided jail despite already being banned from contacting her. Lucy joins me now with more on this story. Lucy, tell us exactly what happened.
Well, a court was told that Mario Stoica saw his former partner by chance in June as she drove her BMW in the town. While she was stopped at traffic lights, he jumped on the bonnet and repeatedly punched the windscreen. She managed to drive away and park around the corner, but he followed, jumped on the bonnet again, and this time shattered the glass. He also struck the wing mirrors and side windows and damaged the windscreen wipers.
And I mentioned he was already banned from contacting her.
That's right. The 32-year-old from Dover Road in Folkestone was the subject of a restraining order which runs until November 2026. He was charged with criminal damage, harassment, breaching a restraining order and common assault over the incident. The court was also told it's left the victim frightened and unwilling to allow him any further contact with their children.
And what sentence was handed down?
Well, Stoica pleaded guilty and his defence team said it was an isolated incident. They also explained he has mental health issues and previously used crystal meth but hadn't taken any for 2 months. He was jailed for 24 weeks but that was suspended for 18 months. Another 6-year restraining order was imposed. He's got to wear a GPS tag and pay compensation.
Lucy, thanks ever so much. You can see pictures of the damage caused to the vehicle within the story at Kent Online.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories today, and a man and woman have been arrested after the death of a 3-month-old baby at a home near Canterbury. Police say the pair, who are in their 30s, were detained after the child was found at a property in Athelston Road in Thannington on Sunday. They've been released on bail while investigations continue. A man who was released from prison after carrying out a knife attack has been back in court for punching a police officer in Maidstone. Carl Bonella hit out when they arrived to arrest him for breaching the conditions of his license. The 47-year-old, who's being held at HMP Elmley, had been given an extended sentence in 2016 for slashing a man in Gillingham. He admitted assault on an emergency worker and has been fined. Police have released a picture of a man they want to question following an attack at a nightclub in Maidstone. Another man was taken to hospital with facial injuries after it happened at Ovation on Gabriel's Hill in the early hours of July the 6th. We've shared that image on socials. Now, a Folkestone man whose mum and stepdad are being held in Iran says they've been allowed to make their first call home. Lindsay and Craig Foreman were detained on suspicion of espionage while on a motorbike tour around the world. Joe Bennett, who is Lindsay's son, says his parents are holding strong. He's been speaking to Sky News.
We laughed, we cried, we talked about how things were happening and how they got to where they are, and from what we know, they were transferred from Kerman via plane a week ago to Tehran. But I think the first instance, we got about 8 minutes, and it was more to sort of say, it's really good to hear your voice, you know. It's been 7 long, long months. But yeah, as I say, really, really good, reassuring. And it now just sort of gives us the energy to kick on and get them home.
The UK government say they're deeply concerned and are providing assistance. The boss of a Kent charity that trains dogs for children with type 1 diabetes has told us they're having to pause the programme because of a drop in donations. The puppies are taught how to detect changes in a child's blood sugar levels, preventing potentially life-threatening hypos. It costs £25,000 to support a dog through their training. Well, I've been chatting to Jane Pearman, who's the founder and chief exec of Hypo Hounds, and started by asking her to tell me more about the incredible dogs.
We train diabetic alert assistance dogs for predominantly children that have brittle type 1 diabetes, and the dogs are trained through scent detection to alert the parents of the children's fluctuating blood sugar levels and preventing them from collapsing falling into a coma and potential nasty consequences, really.
And how do you train the dogs? Because they are incredible. I've seen them in action. I've seen some videos. They're just wonderful, but it must take quite a long time and an awful lot of effort to train them. What goes into it?
Yeah, so we get the puppies when they're about 8 weeks old, and they're with foster parents for the first year of their lives. And during that first year, the foster parents provide a loving, grounding home for them and expose them to absolutely everything that an assistance dogs need to be exposed to, like public transport, going to clubs, leisure centres, things like that. Anything that a child might come want to do as part of their daily routine, that's what the foster parents do. And when we've got a match, when the dog's about a year old, we start thinking about the children that are on our waiting list, and we look at their lifestyle and the characteristics of that particular dog and match the child to the dog. And that's when we begin the scent training. So it's all tailored to that particular family and that child's needs. So it's not a one sort of training package that fits all. It's all done bespoke to the children and the family.
Obviously, it is very expensive to train these dogs. Give us an idea as to how much it does cost and your funding.
Yeah, so for us, it costs a minimum from 8 weeks old to for training a dog and support it for the rest of its life. We're looking at about £25,000, which isn't cheap. We do not charge our families for the dogs at all. We get all of our funding from public donations, grants, but like many charities at the moment, we're seeing a huge decline in public spending. We're all being absolutely hammered at the moment, left, right, and centre of the cost of living crisis, as are many of our corporate supporters that we would rely on. And sadly, because of the situation that it is at the particular time, we've had to close the puppy programme for the first time in 10 years, which is it's absolutely detrimental to the children that are on our waiting list.
How many children, Jane, do you have at the moment waiting for a dog?
So we've got eight at the moment that are waiting, that are all ready to go. So that's eight puppies that we can't buy, and that's eight dogs that we cannot train. And for every person that we've got on our list, that is just that one potential hypo that consequences don't bear thinking about.
So you say you've put a pause on things at the moment. What do you need to change and how much funding do you need to come in to be able to get a puppy and to be able to train that puppy?
For us to be able to lift this restriction at the moment, we need to raise at least £150,000. We need to pay for those dogs to be put through their training. Without that funding, who knows what next year will bring? And it's very, very, very sad.
And as you say, those children just want a normal life, don't they? And these dogs can give them that so they can live a normal life and their parents can have a bit of pressure taken off of them as well, which would make a huge difference to any family, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I mean, we underestimate really what the dogs can do. Obviously, they impact on the children's well-being every single day. We've got clinicians that have actually put pen to paper now saying that the children that have got dogs are actually at lower risk of long-term health complications later on in life. What we can't measure is the mental well-being of the family unit. The dog becomes the carer. Parents can become parents again. And we, one of only a few charities, actually prioritise the siblings and give siblings a job to do so they don't feel left out. So it's a completely holistic approach to the well-being of the whole family unit.
You can also read about the dogs and donate by heading to hypohounds.co.uk.
Kent Online reports.
A Canterbury woman's issued a warning after losing £35,000 in a sophisticated job scam. The victim, who didn't want to be named, received a text in March 2023 offering casual work from home for up to £100 a week. The 48-year-old says it looked legitimate, but she was soon depositing her own money into an account. She's now enlisted the help of the National Fraud Helpline, who've told us cases like this are on the rise. A suspected shoplifter has appeared in court after a police officer was reportedly hit in the face in Chatham. A quantity of meat products were seized after two men were seen acting suspiciously outside the BP petrol station on Maidstone Road on Saturday. Another man and woman have also been charged after items were stolen from New Look, Sainsbury's, Boots and B&M. The boss of a popular roadside cafe near Sittingbourne has been described as one in a million following his death from cancer. Roy Golding ran the Tuck Inn in Newington and previously owned Mickey's Diner on the A249 in Detling. He passed away last month at the age of 65. Street ambassadors have started patrolling Chatham Town Centre to crack down on antisocial behaviour and shoplifters. The extra security is being provided by the Town Centre Forum and will run during trading hours 7 days a week. The trial's running until December and is costing £27,000. Meantime, youth services in Kent could be in for a funding boost as the government has announced a major investment package. £88 million will be going into providing more clubs and activities in local communities across England. Now, the whole aim of this is to stop young people spending so much time on the internet, with a focus on areas with the highest levels of child poverty. Zoe Karasik is CEO of Pie Factory Music, which runs a youth club in Ramsgate. She's been chatting to Lucy.
I'm delighted and relieved that this investment is finally coming. Obviously, I have questions about how the funding will be disseminated, exactly how grassroots organisations like Pie Factory Music will be able to benefit from this investment. But it's really, really, really encouraging to hear the government finally talking about young people being a priority under this new administration. They've suffered a lot over the last 15 years. And as far as I'm concerned, this kind of investment could not come quickly enough.
Yeah, and 88 million, I mean, it sounds like a lot of money. Obviously, that's spread out across the whole of England. I mean, when it comes down to it, do you think this is enough funding to turn things around, or is it just maybe a start?
I'm hopeful this is just the start. I do really welcome this investment, but it's got to be built on in future years. It cannot just be like a one-off, handout to the sector. Organisations like ours are really fighting to survive after over a decade now, long over a decade of these cuts. So really, yeah, hopefully it's just the beginning of more substantial investment to come.
There's a focus as well when the government's talking about this of kind of getting children off the internet, getting them out, you know, doing activities outdoors in the community. I mean, is that something you think is important to address?
Absolutely. Young people's social well-being has really suffered since COVID, where many young people went indoors and then never really came out again. We're seeing high levels in our youth club of young people experiencing real social anxiety and not being sure how to be around other young people or people in general. So this, schemes like this or funding like this that will really encourage young people back into those social environments is so important. And also, it was really encouraging to see some of the funding allocated specifically to organisations or schemes that will get young people outdoors, getting young people outdoors into nature, trying new things, pushing themselves out of their comfort zone. That's going to be really, really vital for their resilience and self-confidence and their ability to bounce back when they've been through difficult times. That's why, you know, I think for our organisation, this looks really promising. It'll mean that we can continue to run residential trips where we take young people on trips to outdoors activity centres, as well as the social well-being sort of youth club programs that we run that are about bringing young people together, making those social connections and building up those kind of key skills interacting with other people.
Pie Factory Music are currently in a battle to save their site after Kent County Council decided to sell off the building.
Kent Online reports.
The owners of a wedding venue near Strood are planning to close the business because of rising costs. An application's been submitted to turn the Grade 2 listed Little Hermitage in Higham back into a detached house. The Georgian building has been run by the Day family since 2004, but they say an increase in tax, wages, national insurance and catering costs means they're now running at a loss. Meantime, two big brands have confirmed they're going to be closing stores in Canterbury. Deichmann and Superdry are due to shut this month, although bosses of the shoe store have confirmed they're looking for another site in the city. It's understood clothing giant Urban Outfitters will be moving into the Deichmann building. The number of parking spaces at a border checkpoint near Ashford could be increased as the government looks to make the site a permanent fixture. A facility at Sevington was built to carry out checks on goods going in and out of the UK following Brexit. It was initially under a five-year temporary agreement, but officials say it needs to stay open as a matter of national interest. A new nursery has opened in a Kent village to try and plug a gap in childcare provision. Bridges Day Nursery is taking over the former Abacus site on Smarden Road in Headcorn. The previous provider was forced to close in April after an Ofsted complaint. And an RNLI volunteer from Deal, who's helped save lives for 17 years, is preparing to give even more back to the charity. Dan Sinclair is part of the crew at Walmer Station and is planning to cycle the length of the UK to raise money. He'll be joined by a friend for the challenge, which will also see them detour to do the Three Peaks. Kate's been finding out more.
Can you tell me about this amazing challenge that you're undertaking and that you're currently preparing for?
So in October this year, 6th of October, myself and a good friend of mine, we will be setting off from John O'Groats in the far north of Scotland on our bicycles and cycling to the very bottom of England, to Penzance.
And tell me about what you're going to be doing on the way. It's not just a cycle challenge.
No, so we're going to be setting off at 6 a.m. from John O'Groats, and we're hoping to be in Inverness later on that afternoon or early evening, weather dependent. And then we're going to be cutting across to the west coast of Scotland and climbing Ben Nevis. And then we're going to be back on the saddles, moving our way down south, looking for the next mountain, which is Scafell Pike. Moving further down to the southwest into Wales, we will then climb Snowdon.
It's just an incredible undertaking. I can't even imagine. How do you start preparing for something like this? Have you got a strict training regime? Can you tell me a little bit about what you're doing to get ready?
So myself and Nathan, we're both very busy people. We're both working full-time jobs, both got families. So it's trying to find the time to get on the bikes, to get up some hills, to get some runs in and some strength and conditioning training. So we were going to Wales in a couple of weeks' time to spend a couple of days in the hills to try and condition our legs.
I imagine, given your work with the RNLI, you keep fit, you know, regularly. It's quite a physical thing to volunteer for the RNLI.
So Lifeboat, we exercise a couple of times a week. We've got a really, really good community in Walmer, as I'm sure all 238 Lifeboat stations do. We all do lots of regular training exercises and we do lots of good social things as well.
Do you have a time frame? So how long is it going to take you to complete the whole thing?
So we are hoping to complete this challenge within 10 days. I use the word hope loosely. We've actually got to be really strict on that because we've self-funded. We've got no support vehicle. We've got the kit we're going to be wearing is our kit. We have booked all of our accommodation along the way.
Have you got a fundraising target in mind for the challenge that you're doing in October?
I'm not going to disclose that because I'm very, very grateful for any money which we receive, because the way I look at it, any money which we have got so far towards our fundraiser is money that we didn't have yesterday. So I don't want to put an unrealistic target in there. I've got a figure in my head which I'd be, you know, ecstatic to have reached.
And you can donate to their Just Giving page by searching Dan Sinclair RNLI online.
Kent Online Sports.
Cricket first up, and Kent's Sam Billings has led the Oval Invincibles to victory in their first game in the 100. They beat London Spirit by 6 wickets at Lord's last night after bowling their opponents out for just 80 runs. The Invincibles reached their target with 31 balls to spare in the women's game at London Spirit, won by 17 runs. On to tennis now, and Kent's Emma Raducanu has added Rafa Nadal's former coach Francis Roig to her team ahead of the US Open. The British number one had been working with Mark Petchy on an informal basis since March. He's unable to commit to a full-time role, though, due to his TV commitments. The leader of Dartford Council has revealed he's retiring from his role as director of the town's football club. Jeremy Kite's been in the position for more than 15 years. He played a key role in helping the side build their Prince's Park Stadium, which opened in 2006, and was invited to join the board 3 years later. He's now been named honorary vice president. And finally, there are calls for more women in Kent to take up a sport that currently only has one female team. You might never have heard of bike polo, but a club in Vigo near Mepham is hoping to change all of that. Our reporter Joe Crosley went along to a training session at Oakenden Bells and spoke to player Isabella Bayliss.
Bike polo is a five-man sport played on bikes with mallets. So it's horse polo, but bikes, but also then add in hockey and football tactics. So a lot. But how it works is quite simple. You have your goalkeeper, you've got four players, and you just have to score a goal against the other five players on the pitch. It's fun, it's fast-paced, it's team-driven, and it's just a good time. It's so quick, you have to think fast, and if you enjoy cycling, you will love playing this.
when you're actually playing, what about it is exciting? What about it is exhilarating?
What's so exhilarating is, first of all, you have to go fast. You've got to move the ball quickly and pacefully up the pitch. It's a rugby-sized pitch. So it's not a small pitch. You have to travel. And you've got to hit the ball with the mallet at speed while also making sure you're keeping yourself clear and not getting in people's way. So it's so fun because you have to constantly keep thinking, moving, and you're part of a team. So you have to think constantly, where are you? Where are you? And when you score that goal, it is so good.
Good stuff. So you're looking for members, I'm right in saying?
Yes, we are looking for new people to give it a go. If you're interested in giving it a go, we can provide everything you possibly need. So bikes, the mallets. You don't need to bring anything. You just have to contact us on social media. We are active on there, Open to a Bike Polo. And you just send us a message. We train twice a week and we'd love just to see people give it a whirl.
So you've got the Oakenden Bells, yep. Which is an all-female team.
Yes,
tell
the only
me a
one.
A little bit about that.
Yes, so the Oakenden Bells is the only female team in the world. We're the only one that we know of. And we've not heard anything from anyone since we said that we were the only team. So I'm thinking we're right. We've been going for 6 years and we are still trying to get another female team to play against us. And we'd really like that to happen. But we are still just the lonely only female team that exists. But we do play with the guys and they're very gracious. And we have a really good time playing even amongst the men's teams.
How do you get on against them?
That's a different question. But we're doing better every year, which is the key thing. And that's either because the men are getting worse or we're getting better. And I like to think it's because we're getting better.
Definitely. I think it's the latter. I think it's the latter. So why have we never heard of bike polo?
So historically, bike polo has been around since the 1800s. We've had times at the Olympics as exhibition games, which is actually 1908, so it's a while ago. But it came and died a death in World War II and World War I, where loads of people were taken off to war and bikes were obviously scrapped. And it shouldn't die. It's such a good sport. And even though it's had a resurgence in the last 20 years through us coming and playing, it deserves to do better. It deserves to be bigger. And we've got a championship in 2027 in France coming up, and it should be amazing. But we deserve to have more teams. It should be a bigger sport for it. It deserves a big audience for the first time.
Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. Plus, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. Whilst you're on the website, you can also sign up to Kent Online Premium. Now, that gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Nicola Everett, or one word at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.